Welcome to Hers,
His,
and Ours, part of the Scheiss Podcast Network.
Season 1, Episode 9, Mistakes Were Made, Part 2. Nora continues to reminisce about the days immediately following 9/11 while Justin recovers from his OD. Kitty attempts to use influence with a senator to get Justin out of the army. Tommy, Sarah, and Kevin road trip to the Nevada desert to check on a piece of land that their father owned.
Episode 9. You know, like I said, I am taking better notes. However, structurally, because this is a two-part episode, I realized that I attributed the flashback incident that I mentioned in the previous episode to this episode when I mentioned surprise that Nora has been so shitty to Kitty for so long, when it's very clear, given the flashback, that the blame was not to be placed on Kitty for Justin's decision.
Yeah, this is the episode we see. Well, we see the start of Nora say it was her fault in the episode before. I think that episode ends with her saying that, or one of those lines. But then we see her say it to Kitty that it was her fault, not Kitty's fault, because Kitty is struggling. You know, we see Kitty have the well, we don't see the conversation, but it's alluded to with Rob Lowe's character getting introduced.
That's right. Rob Lowe is in the house.
Welcome to the show. I love him on the show. So, yeah, that makes sense, because I was like, I couldn't remember if we see the whole thing or it's just introduced on the episode before. But then Nora, we see those full flashbacks because it's Nora's way of explaining why it was really her fault. The letter that...
We see that she tried to go behind Justin's back. Yeah. Well, first she tried to get him to sign this letter.
Withdrawing his enlistment.
And then when he didn't, he asked her about it and she just kind of blew it off like it's not a big deal, because she had already sent it in, I think.
Well, because Justin's like, you know, I have been maybe rethinking. Let me see that letter. I want to see what it entails.
I knew it. I knew you would just come to your senses, you stupid child. You can't make your own decisions.
And then we find out she had already sent it. And then he's like, I'm calling them right now and I'm going.
He's like, spite is a powerful motivator.
Mm-hmm. It sure is, especially with parents, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah, it's like my whole personality uh-huh. is don't tell me what to do. Really, sometimes I just want someone to tell me what to do, though.
Oh, really? This is on recorded air. I'm going to now be able to say, roll the tape.
Roll the tape. Well, guess what? I have editing power and I can erase that from history. But this is also our Vegas trip, or at least Nevada.
Nevada.
It's not Vegas, but
it's not fully Vegas. Sarah finds out there's property that William bought. And
yes,
she's like, it doesn't make sense, though, because there's 15 or 13 million missing. And he bought this for a little bit over $1 million or 2 million.
Yeah, he bought some like shitty dirt, nothing
desert in the middle. Literally in the desert.
Yeah, in Nevada. And
they road trip it.
Yeah. And so we get a little road trip action with Tommy, Kevin, and Sarah, because Tommy and Sarah obviously work there. Kevin is the
family lawyer. They want Kevin to drive.
They want Kevin to drive, yes. So he's volunteered into the road trip for them, which is, I think it's a good dynamic to see, like, the three of them together in that environment. But before, they just wanted to see the thing. Like, what did Dad buy? Like, I don't want to just, like, you know, blow it off, and they're like, we want to know what happened here with this place.
They want to see what it is.
Exactly. So they want to do their due diligence, and that's why they decide to road trip out there. And they said it's 6 hours each direction. I'm just like, is it? Going to Vegas doesn't feel like it's that far. But
well, they don't establish this is actually in Vegas
entirely.
It's just
on the other side of Nevada, I guess.
But they're also driving from, I think they're in Pasadena, technically. No. So who knows, route-wise?
It's a closer starting point, I think.
Is it? Unless it's the other end of Nevada.
Yeah, could be. It's like some weird corner of Nevada, but even stranger.
If you're not speeding.
Which I'm sure they will. Kevin's a BMW driver, isn't he?
He is.
Yeah, he's going to drive fast. We get, yes, the introduction of Rob Lowe. And, but like, I didn't even know. Like, I don't know sort of beyond, you know, I haven't watched this show before, but my note was Rob Lowe's in the house to start banging. I said, is he here to make Kitty seem more centrist and less Republican by comparison? Because he's like an active politician who's sort of like actively spewing the bullshit. He had an affair while running for office and is trying to like not let that define him as a candidate.
Going through a messy divorce and she's got this big interview with him and doesn't want that talked about. And behind closed doors is, you know, alluding to the fact later on in the episode that she asked him for a favor to help get Justin out of having to go back to active duty.
Yeah, we don't know that. Like, she closes the door with the implication being that she is going to ask
make
that
a deal.
Favor of him. Yes, because he wants favorable coverage to not talk about the divorce. She needs something, but she doesn't want to, like, say that she doesn't want to acknowledge that her integrity would allow her to make that exchange. But I said that in my notes, I put her unwavering conservatism is breaking in the face of pressure, saying out loud that they don't know what they're fighting for anymore in regards to the Iraq war. And I said that's a far cry from where she started, but also from like the bootlicking that we see today, where it's like just whatever the party line is, just tow it. Nobody dissents. Just, oh yeah, we're doing that fucking stupid thing that's clearly wrong. Like, yeah, it's the right thing to do. So that's why I'm like, it's interesting to introduce this guy. And especially like, well, sorry, Warren, you're not a senator. So good luck. And, you know, he's Rob Lowe too, so that doesn't hurt. We don't find out right then the result of their meeting, right? So we cut back and we're on the road with the fam. They are approaching. They stop.
The car breaks down.
That's right. Kevin.
Well, it starts smoking, and Kevin's like, I got it. And he just gets a bottle of water out.
But he doesn't put it in the radiator.
But he doesn't put it in the right spot.
He puts it in the oil tank and destroys the car, basically.
Yeah. And they have to take it to a shop. And then the shop's like, oh, we need until tomorrow to fix it, kind of a thing. So now they're stuck staying overnight, kind of in the middle of nowhere in like military town as well.
Mm-hmm. So they go to a bar.
Yep. Sarah's like, if I'm spending the night here, possibly in the car, I'm drinking first.
Mm-hmm. So they're like, let's go get fucked up. They go into the military bar and, you know, Sarah wants to have fun. And it's nice to see her cut loose. I'm like, hey, she's having fun. She's apparently good at shooting pool because she's got brothers. That's all it takes, having some brothers. And then you get good at pool.
Okay.
according to her own logic. But she's doing well. She's drinking. She's having a good time. Kevin's flirting with one of the soldiers.
It was from another show, and it was bothering me, and I forgot to look it up.
But it was very clear before anything was even acknowledged that they sort of, like, had an understanding almost. Because that guy came up to him and started chatting Kevin up at the bar before Kevin mentioned that he was gay. But then Kevin said something in passing. He's like, well, you know, I'm gay and blah, blah, blah. And the soldier was like, well, I was hoping you would say that. Something corny.
Some banter.
And then Kevin's like, I got us a place to stay tonight. And so, look, it's good for Kevin. It's good for them. We get to have some fun. The next morning, Sarah and Tommy are both like, oh, my back hurts. I slept like shit. And then Kevin says, well, I slept fine. I said, well, yeah, because you didn't sleep on the floor. He says, no, I did not.
Oh, man.
So, yeah, it was just nice to have, like, the dynamic of them being out together and sort of on their own adventure as a family. But we see that, you know, Justin has survived his OD, right? I don't remember if they're waiting to send him home exactly.
No, he gets released and he's back living at Nora's house.
That's right.
And he's being supervised and, you know, he's like, because in the episode before, one of the things Justin was rationalizing was, I'm going to run away to Mexico.
Yes, yes, yes. He because of the letter that was going to re-enlist him in the military, he was trying to flee the country. They were, you know, advising against that because legally they would just arrest his ass. And he's like, I don't care. I'm going.
Yeah. He was going to change his name or get a fake passport from his drug dealer.
Because all drug dealers know passport guys.
Apparently. and then Kevin had said, like, no, there's no way we can get him out of this. If he flees or he doesn't show up to report, he can be arrested.
Yeah, it's a felony.
Yeah. So we see him at the house with Nora, and he's just kind of like recovering from his hospital stay. And he's like, no, I'm going back. Like, he's going to do the right thing. He knows that. I mean, he kind of has no choice, unfortunately. He has to report.
But I think he figures out that, like, running isn't the answer.
Yeah, he knows running's not the answer. It's going to catch up with him. And so we see Justin doesn't have a huge storyline in this episode because we're mostly just kind of seeing him recover. But they flash back and forth to the interview of Kitty and
Rob Lowe's
character, the senator.
Senator something something.
And
Senator Dingling.
She does the interview and she makes it through the entire interview and does not ask about the divorce. So Warren was like, what did you do? Like, Warren is one of the first people she talks to. Like, how did you not ask about the divorce?
Yeah. And she concedes, right? And then when they go to play the interview. And I think Kitty is grappling with what she did. And so she decides to come clean before they play the interview.
This is later, towards the end of the episode.
Yeah. When they know, like, sort of full well, I was like, well, she's probably going to get fired for that. Mm-hmm.
Because Warren says something to Amber around the fact that he thinks she asked because she didn't deny it. Mm-hmm. She didn't confirm it. So Amber then goes to the producer or the head of the show.
Being the ambitious social climber that she is.
Yep. And says, like, I think Kitty did this. And she asked for a favor instead of talking about the divorce.
Little quid pro quo.
Yeah. So they pull Kitty in and she's like, well, what?
You have no evidence, bitch.
What evidence do you have of that? Like, who said that? What exactly did he say? Deflecting. And then that's when we see at the end of the episode. She does grapple with it.
She comes clean.
She comes clean. And she gives a very well articulated speech where she just assumes like she's getting fired and confesses to what she did, compromises her journalism, her ethics around everything. And then leaves the stage with the assumption like she's getting fired.
And then on the way out, she stops by Amber.
And says she did the right thing.
Yeah, she's like, you know, give her a little pat on the head. Like, you did good. I would have done the same thing in your shoes, basically. So we see that, like, she's taking responsibility and accountability, which is nice. You know. Getting some of those points in. And that leads to a little bit later. Should I just say it?
Sure.
Okay. Well, that storyline concludes with them all being at the house, Justin having his realization that he's going to go back, Nora accepting responsibility for her blame of Kitty, and then the phone rings, and it's like, hey, it's Senator Fuckboy is on the phone for you, and oh my god, what is this about? And he basically offers her a job. Like, I could really use, like, someone like you inside my spin machine.
Because let's clarify, he said no to her when she asked for that favor to get Justin out. He said no. And then she was just hoping that he would do her a favor after the fact by still not asking about the divorce.
Yeah.
And then he just offers her a job instead.
Yeah. He's like, well, we both know that your network's going to fire you. So
how about a job on my campaign?
Mm-hmm. Wink,
wink.
Stop
it.
They end up together.
How do you know that?
Well, I predicted it before it happened, but I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Let's stay in the present.
We are in the present, but you don't introduce Rob Lowe into a show with Calista Flockhart as the lead and not have them go down that path at some point.
Okay, but we're in the present.
We are in the present, but yes, I'll put my money on it. So, you know, we're also still dealing with the family, trying to figure out what's going on at the ranch. By the way, Williams Folly, I think, is a great name for a little western town.
Mm-hmm.
But I said it's a weird plan. And when I say I said, this is me talking to myself in my notes. I wrote down that it's a weird plan unless was dying at the time, which if he had health issues, it would make sense to be like, okay, I'm going to buy this land that I know that when I die, we can flip it for more money or something like that. But it seemed like a weird investment strategy given the circumstances that we're aware of. Unless it was left to somebody else that wasn't the kids, but that was not alluded to. But the kids continue to do some good investigative work. Tommy, in this case.
Yeah, Tommy has
figures a redemption. Out that the bank may be holding a safety deposit box for their dad. And fortunately, the lawyer is there with them. So he's got like durable power of attorney or executorship. And identification and death certificates on him. So they gain access to the safety deposit box that has the contract that the land can then be rebought for $30 million. So
insane. And they only owed 12 or 15 million, I think. Yeah. So they're getting
so not
double.
Only do they cover the loss. And that's was Tommy's thing. He's like, Dad's not a moron. Like, he would not have just bought this place as a loss. So there has to be something about this place that has value. And so maybe it's something where there was like mineral rights to the place and they were buying it from the government and with a deal to buy it back if certain things happen. So I don't know exactly what the legal jargon was that made the property worth $30 million, but they basically win the lottery and they're out of trouble with Ojai Foods being in debt. But it could have been something that William set up for Rebecca and her future and Holly's future.
But I don't know, because
I don't think he would embezzle company funds to make that happen.
I don't think so either. And if that was the case, then they wouldn't have the right to sell it to save Ojai. Right?
Yeah, correct. I mean, it's his asset, I guess, because it's not held in a trust or in Rebecca's name.
Yeah, I guess we'll see. Because who knows? Like, maybe there is something written in there that is
curious.
For Holly or Rebecca.
I am curious if they're just going to use this as, like, the magic lottery ticket that gets them out of financial trouble, and that's just kind of over as a story, or if we're going to learn why William actually did the thing that he did. Because we do get a flashback scene at the end of the episode with him writing the letter to Nora that they find in the box.
Apologizing,
talking about family being the most important thing.
Which is also crazy if this was some kind of hidden thing for Holly or Rebecca as a nest egg, but yet there's a handwritten letter for Nora apologizing in the safety deposit box, which how would she have gotten that if this wasn't meant for them?
Well, he didn't have his password stored anywhere, so I guess the thought process of William that like his kids would just be able to figure this out doesn't seem logical. Like they had to do a lot of detective work just to be able to get, just to find the account. Then once the account was found, they had to find the password. Once the password was found, they had to find the land. Once the land was found, they had to find the safety deposit box. He sent them on a crazy
scavenger hunt
in order to find this information. So I'm really curious as to like the why of that, but also I wouldn't be surprised if the show ignores that completely and just is like, the money problem is solved. We're switching gears.
I don't think that's necessarily the case.
Okay, good. Well, I want to find out what happens.
Good.
I want to know.
So now you're hooked.
I want to know the why. What the fuck was William thinking?
All right.
Give me the deets.
Like I said, it gets very twisty.
Good.
Very twisty. We still got 5 more seasons? Was the 6 seasons we talked about?
Oh, yeah. Many more seasons to go. We're not even done with season 1. Let's not put the cart ahead of the horse.
I know. We're getting close to halfway.
We're almost halfway. So, I mean, that's good progress. I think, there's 24 in the first one, so we'll be
23.
Huh?
23.
All right, so by the time we do the next episode, we'll be ahead of schedule.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sounds good. All right, well, I forgot to ask you
mm-hmm.
at the end of the last episode, despite that I had just prefaced it in the episode before that I want your Walker family rankings, because I have my rankings that I've been keeping loosely, but now I've dedicated them to paper.
But you're not changing this episode to episode, right?
Oh, I am. I don't know about you. In my head, I keep a mental note of it. You don't have to, but I kind of always track who's accruing points and who's losing points.
Okay, I'm not tracking to that degree.
That's fine. You can do it at the end of every 3 episodes. But
okay.
What is your Walker family ranking?
Okay. I would say Justin.
Yep.
Kevin.
Your boy. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sarah.
Okay.
Kitty.
We have the same top 3 at least, but in reverse order.
Mm-hmm. Nora, Tommy.
Okay.
I think it's going to take a lot for Tommy to jump anywhere.
That's fair. I have pretty much the same, but it's still Sarah, Kevin, Justin, Kitty, but then Tommy has now taken over 5th place from Nora.
Mm. So
it's more Nora's continued shittiness that has her losing points. She did take a little bit of accountability.
She did.
But it also came, that just basically leveled her out, though. She's only taking accountability for this horrible thing that she did to her daughter.
For years. Yeah.
So she's only, like, maybe back at 0 now, where Tommy, at least being resourceful and intelligent and saving the family farm, basically, by finding that safety deposit box, he notched up just barely. But it's more Nora's falling.
Yeah, that makes sense. Technically, we have the same top 4, just in a different order.
Correct. Yes, we do.
All right. Well, I mean, we have all the same top 6 in different orders.
Well,
actually,
yeah. I mean, when you really think about it, and if we included Saul, he'd be at the bottom.
Oh, yeah. Saul's not climbing any ladders anytime soon.
I mean, I guess we could do it with like all the characters overall, but I think because it's the Walker family, it makes more sense.
Yeah, and I feel like all the characters don't have significant enough roles in all the episodes yet. I don't know if we need to include everyone else. Like Julia, we've only seen a couple times. The kids, we've only seen a couple of times. Holly's always going to be at the bottom as well with Saul.
Better call Saul.
Yeah. Better not call Saul.
He'll keep your secret, though. He'll fucking, for no reason, reason that actually really matters to him, he will just keep your secret.
And I feel like that never gets explained, at least not that I can remember. But again, like, I remember big picture themes. I don't remember all the little nitty gritty details, so I am kind of still rewatching this, quote unquote, for the first time, but it'll be like we start an episode and I'll be like, oh yeah, I kind of remember where this goes. No, I think doing just the Walkers makes sense. It's their family.
It is. And I did want to point out one thing that kind of resonated very true, in that after 9/11, when there were suddenly rumors or the word was out there that America might start the draft again for the purpose of that war, my mom was ready to get me the fuck out of the country. She was like, I'm sending you to Canada or Mexico or something. Like,
yeah.
She's like, you're not going to war.
Yeah.
So I understand Nora's position. And
as a parent, absolutely. I don't fault her whatsoever. I can't imagine if it was like our kids kind of a thing. But I do remember there was significant fear around, like, there was no age limit at that point. Like, you were ready to be drafted regardless of, like, where you were at. Like, you are not going to be too old, or, like, you're not, like, your education level didn't matter. Like, if you were in college kind of thing, it was, like, all hands on deck. So,
yeah.
I don't blame your mom either.
Yeah. Well, also interesting that This Is Us also has a draft storyline that we
I
get.
Know.
So,
history repeats itself. So, it's not a surprise, like, where that timeline in This Is Us takes place, that we see it again happening.
That's fair. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back with episodes 10, 11, and 12, which will get us through officially past the halfway point of season one. So
moving right along.
Yeah,
look at us.
Gaining some momentum.
Yeah, I think we had a good stride with the storylines, too.
Yeah. Compelling.
There's enough of the foundation now of the family to where it's like, we know what we're getting ourselves into. So you can just have at it with the storylines.
Yeah. All right, cool beans.
All right, cool beans.
See you next time, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Hers, His, and Ours. We'd love for you to continue on this journey with us. The easiest way to do that is to like and subscribe to the show on the podcast platform of your choice. Follow our socials at Hers, His, Ours, spelled like time, on Instagram and X. To keep tabs on this show and others in the Scheist Podcast Network, follow at Scheist Podnet on Instagram, Blue Sky, and X.